Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. My very special guest today is Rena Paredes, who is the founder of the Eric Paredes Save a Life Foundation. Rena, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rena is here today to tell us about some free cardiac screenings for serious heart conditions for teenagers that are going to be conducted this Sunday, November 2nd, at the Steel Canyon High School in Rancho San Diego. Rena, can you give us some details exactly about the when and where on that?
Yes, the cardiac screenings are going to be happening at Steel Canyon High School from 9 to 3. And any teen from any other school ages 12 to 19 can sign up on our website, www.epsavealife.org, and download the consent forms and come and join us for a free cardiac screening.
Very good. This is a terribly important thing for teenagers, and Rena's involvement in this is very personal. She lost her son, Eric, who was a freshman at Steel Canyon High School, to sudden cardiac syndrome. Rena, can you tell us a little bit about that personal story? Can you share what happened and when you first found out that Eric had a heart condition?
Well, we never knew that Eric had a heart condition. He was a completely healthy 15-year-old, living life and going to school. We were packing to go on a cruise on a Thursday morning, and I stepped out to go to a doctor's appointment, and my husband came home 15 minutes later after I had left and found Eric already collapsed on our kitchen floor. It was no signs, no symptoms. It was shocking to us because I am a nurse, and I took my son to every physical, sports physical, and never showed any signs or symptoms of any problem with his heart.
Yeah, these things can be so sudden and so unexpected. My own daughter had a heart condition when she was 4 years old. It was fortunately, in her case, was surgically fixed at 5, but again, we had absolutely no idea until she actually told us her heart was beating too fast. So, parents, if you're out there, this is such an important thing. Sign your kids up and bring them in for those free screenings this Sunday. Now, again, there's no cost to this, and you've done this at other schools, not just at Steel Canyon, his alma mater. How can people find out about screenings in other locations?
Yes, we've done a total of 21 heart screenings in the last 3.5 years. We started this foundation about a year after Eric passed away. So we've done 21 screenings. And the way you can find out about the next screenings is that you can go on our website. Again, it's www.epsavealife.org and check the schedules for when the screenings are going to be. And like I said, you can come to any screening. You don't have to be a part of the school where we're screening. Any child can come and join us.
Very good. That's a wonderful thing that you're doing. What is the ultimate goal for these screenings?
In the perfect world, we would love every teen to get a heart screening or an EKG done with their sports physicals or with their yearly physicals. Mm-hmm. That would be amazing if that could happen, if loss would make that mandatory. But we're starting small. We're making awareness by doing the cardiac screenings, by being on radio shows like this one, by being on TV. We just joined CIF, where coaches and parents are going to be aware of the signs and symptoms of sudden cardiac arrest.
Very good. Are there some signs and symptoms that you can share with us?
Yes. Sometimes there's no sign and symptom, and the only sign is death, which is what happened to my son, Eric. But there could be other signs or symptoms like lightheadedness, or if you have increased heart rate, even at rest. If you have fainted, especially during exercise, that's a big red flag as well. So if you have any of the symptoms, please make sure to come to our cardiac screening. You may be saving your teen's life.
Yeah, and even if there's no symptoms at all, it's a very good thing to check
out.
One out of every 100 children has a condition that puts them at risk for sudden cardiac failure. So parents, this is a very important thing to bring your children in and have them checked for. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And again, parents, you can get more information about that at epsavealife.org. That stands for Eric Paredes. Mm-hmm. And you can also find information on our website at eastcountymagazine.org. Thank you, Rena, for joining us on the East County Magazine Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
The campaign for Santee City Council has five candidates running for three seats. This is Leon Thompson reporting for East County Magazine. Keshav Damore is the youngest of the five candidates running for City Council, and he's our guest today at East County Magazine. Welcome to our studios, Keshav. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Leon. Thank you, Miriam. Thank you to the whole East County Magazine family for having me.
Well, you're quite welcome.
I was born and raised in Santee, through and through. I went to Sycamore Canyon Elementary School, Carlton Oaks Middle School, West Hills High School, and then I went to UCSD, where I studied political science and public policy. I've been living in Santee my whole life. I've seen it from where it was to where it is right now and where it can be. I currently sit on two appointed commissions with the City of Santee, one of them being the Mobile Home Park Fair Housing Commission. Mm-hmm. I have a history working in campaigns and public policy, government affairs. I am running for City Council in the City of Santee for November 2014.
Tell us a little bit more about why you want to run.
The reason I'm running is I've been a lifelong member of Santee community. I feel like I can make a contribution to the community. I studied public policy and political science. I've worked in government affairs and in campaigns. I feel like I'm well suited for my educational background and career background to hold the title of City Council member for the City of Santee. I think I have a lot of unique ideas. I feel like we need some youth. We need some energy. We need something that's a little different from the way it is, from the same group mindset, the same ideology that's been in place, and I think a fresh approach for the next couple generations. I think from where it was from when I was a child to where it is now, Santee's made tremendous strides, and I thank everyone who's come before because they really have done a great job, and especially if you compare Santee to other communities in East County, we stand head over shoulders compared to where they are going and where we're going, and I want to be part of that process to take it to the next new plateau.
Yes, I see. And because of your relative youth, what do you believe will be different about what you bring to the council?
I think one of the unique things about me is my background. A lot of the council have been business owners, loan officers, mortgage, insurance. I think me being on the council,
which is not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all. I think just having someone that's had some public policy and government affairs experience will be a new addition to the group. I think I can work well with everyone across all ideological spectrums, across all faith backgrounds, across all upbringings, across all diverse spectrums. I have an ability. I get along with everyone. I'm very inclusive instead of alienating, and I think I can work well with everyone.
I understand your father was also in La Mesa?
Yeah, my dad worked for 36 Public Works Department as a civil engineer for the City of La Mesa.
Oh, I see, huh?
So from when he first came to this country till when he retired, he was through and through a La Mesa guy. He picked Santee because he wanted a place that was close, that was new, that he could find a nice place with a big yard, mm-hmm. For a family, quiet, kind of a suburbia. Someone where everyone knows everyone, uh-huh. A place where he could drive to work without taking a freeways. Mm-hmm. And Santee was the perfect fit. La Mesa had pretty much already developed. El Cajon was El Cajon in the 70s. And Santee was a logical solution for him. Uh-huh. And he picked it, and he hasn't regretted it since, and neither have I.
Your parents are still living here.
Yeah, my parents are still in Santee. Yeah, another one of those issues I guess that's facing is, about 26% of Santee are 55 and over. And you got to think about retirement, what comes next. And, just two of them, they definitely want to downsize at some point. And, whether it be condos, apartments, mobile homes, anything, as seniors being retired, fixed incomes, these issues come to play. And I think Santee has traditionally been a place where seniors, those on fixed income can really take advantage of the community. There's a lot of places that are there for them to take advantage of. Community is small and inclusive where a lot of things are accessible to some degree.
What would you do to improve that?
I think we can improve the public transportation. When we talk about smart development, we're really focused on high density, medium density development with residential areas. I think we could also consider some commercial, some retail development, not just in the center of the city, but on the outsides, in the pockets. So each kind of neighborhood, each kind of corner of the city can be autonomous to itself, and that you don't have to be relying on coming to the center or coming to just one area to have all your needs met, especially with lack of public transportation around. And Santee is one of the communities in the San Diego County that is traditionally been getting low marks for walkability. It's walkable. There are bike lanes. The infrastructure is there. The problem is the residents and community neighbors, they're not taking advantage of it, and they're not out and active and walking to some places. Because, you know, when you live in a suburban area, residential area, it takes a couple miles to get to anywhere, retail or commercial, and that's a problem. And no one wants to walk a few miles and walk back with groceries or going to eat dinner and coming back. So if we can find areas where we can kind of expand and spread out these retail and commercial sectors and to make them fit in all the corners, then I think we could alleviate that. And that could really help with our low walking grade, walkability.
Right. There's a lot of talk whenever we talk about Santee, the subject of development comes up all the time. Because there is a lot of development, a lot of new stuff in Santee. And you just mentioned some of the ways that you would develop a little differently.
Yeah, I'd like to say, to start off, hats off to the council members who've come before us, because they really had a great vision and really built Santee up from where it used to be 3 or 4 decades ago.
Right? Well, yes. You know, I used to live in Santee 12 years ago. And now there's baseball fields. There's a YMCA with a big swimming pool. There's all kinds of things that have changed. I mean, even the trolley station and the trolley, everything is right there in Santee.
Yeah, my little baseball fields are actually where the trolley station is sitting now. Yeah. I think those are all great things. I think the unique benefit of Santee being Santee is that, unlike other communities in East County, Santee still has a large amount of undeveloped land. We still have a large footprint where we can do things with it. I think Sandag's estimate puts us at, we still can have 18,000 more residents before we kind of plateau, infill for the city. So there's potential there. And we have a lot of open space land. We have, you know, Mission Trails is nearby. We have a lot of trails and mountains surrounding our community. There's a lot of, potential there. I think the trap we want to be mindful of is when we're worried about, there's a lot of money coming in, a lot of developers coming in, a lot of people with a lot of visions and a lot of ideas coming in. That is all great for the community. The trap you want to be mindful of is, how do you want to develop moving forward? A lot of times you'll see that a lot of these open space, park designated acreage are being redesignated to residential, which potentially may not be a bad thing, but how do you want to be a residential? I personally would like to see it be limited with the medium and high density development. I don't think anyone in Santee wants to lose the charm and make it a concrete jungle or development upward and row housing and stacked homes abutting each other or floors and buildings of condos. I think you lose the charm of Santee. What makes Santee unique is the open space, the charm of it all, the trails and the land. If anything, I'd like it to be smart. I'd like it to where we kind of retain, expand our public and green space. And if we do develop, let's at least develop where we keep the master plan in mind of having green and open space around it. Again, if you ask generationally, Santee's a generational city. You'll have families who've been there 3, 4, 5 generations and they're still living there. My friends who now are starting families are settling down in the same kind of neighborhoods they grew up in. It's a cycle. And one of the charms to Santee was that it's open. You know, 2 generations ago, there are people riding horses in the center of the town going from one place to another. And that was an asset, and that's what made Santee unique. And I'd like to try to preserve that as best as we can moving forward.
One of the things that comes up whenever we talk about Santee, for some reason, is the issue of homelessness, that there are homeless people. But let's just say that some of your opponents talk about it a lot. Is it really a problem, and what should be done about it? And what is Santee doing about it?
I think it's definitely an issue to some degree. Santee, including the law enforcement and public safety officials, have done a great job so far. They really monitor the situation. Hats off to them for putting themselves in potentially precarious situations. When you talk about vandalism and the graffiti aspect of it, there's a task force there that monitors all of that. They do homeless sweeps, transient sweeps regularly. I think the last one netted 40 or 43. We got to be careful when we talk about this issue. To some percentage are transients where they come and then they leave, mm-hmm. you know, stay elsewhere. And some of them actually create domiciles where they can and live here. From a public safety standpoint and from a public policy standpoint, we can't have people loitering and living on public lands or on private individuals' lands. That's not a solution. The converse to that point is when we do pick them up or sweep them, well, what do we do with them? I don't think it's being a good neighbor, being a good community member, being a good Santee citizen. I don't think the solution is to just transplant them to another community and make it their problem.
That's what Rob said at that trailer park you were at. Remember we had that talk over there?
The Smolak Forum?
He had that little forum that he had. He said, I don't care where they go. They can go Lakeside, out. I don't care, just so they're not here in Santee.
Right.
Because, I mean, these are humans. I mean, you got to act compassionately. These sure. are actually human people.
I don't think, you know, growing up as a kid, I don't think your parents would appreciate if you, you know, a solution to take care of a problem is just to dump it off onto someone else or dump it off into your sibling's room and make it their problem.
Right.
City of Santee is the city of Santee, but then we're also a community of East County. You know, the unincorporated parts of Lakeside, the city of El Cajon, city of La Mesa. I mean, we are kind of a community family in the East County. By and large, East County kind of gets overlooked in the county level view of things and media and attention, right? So East County is kind of left to East County to take care of itself. And there has to be solutions. And I think some solutions are, you know, with be it homeless shelters or workforce development or training or job assistance, financial literacy. I don't know what the solution is. It's probably going to be a combination of everything.
Uh-huh.
But basically the question is there a problem in Santee? To a degree, I guess there is. It's not as bad as other communities and we're fortunate because of that. And that's a lot of it is due to the good work of the public servants who actually serve Santee right now. But moving forward, I think we could create some policy that kind of will address the long term rather than the short term of what do we do with transients or the homelessness or.
One of the other issues that come up, rent control, because a goodly percentage of people in Santee live in, they're on fixed incomes.
Sure.
Like in the mobile homes, remember one of the ladies at the mobile home we had the forum mentioned if the rent goes up on an apartment building, you can always move out and find yourself a cheaper apartment building. But if you own your home and it's a mobile home and it's on a piece of land that you're paying rent on and they quadruple that, you can't just pick your house up and go move somewhere. So that's why they have rent control essentially, right?
Yeah. So, you know, mobile home parks is one of the unique things where if you are an owner, you bought the mobile home unit, but then you're also paying for the space rent.
Right.
Right. Uh-huh. So that's an issue. A lot of them are renters of the space rent. Mobile home residents make up about 11%. Of the population in Santee.
Uh-huh.
There's about 2,500 units. About half of them are rent controlled.
I see.
There are 6 apartment complexes in the city of Santee that also have some form of rent control, whether it's HUD housing, Section 8 housing, government assisted housing, or they actually have rent controls on the unit. So those exist as well in the city.
Are the parks being threatened?
The mobile home parks?
Uh-huh.
To a degree, they are. I think some parks understand that you'll only make a certain amount of profit from people who live on fixed incomes, and it's not going to be a money tree. Some people would like, I think I'm sure some owners would love to phase out the mobile home units and be able to develop something else that's more lucrative for them. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some would love to do away with rent controls and be able to charge whatever price they could to make it lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
And some owners, I'm sure, are for the rent controls and for housing. Not all of them are senior housing. Some of them are family mobile home parks. Some uh-huh. of them don't have age restrictions on the mobile home parks.
Uh-huh.
And so there's like every issue, there's people for and against on both sides. I think a couple of mobile home parks might get threatened if they're owned by a big corporation that likes to develop condos or apartments or high-density housing, that might be a problem. A lot of areas where the mobile home parks are, they're in very developed areas, so there's no open space around them.
Right.
So it
like
takes...
Like on Mission Gorge Road.
Like on Mission Gorge Road, especially the area over by where they are, the back of the mobile home park is on Prospect. Some of those Prospect open space plots are being rezoned to residential. Right. If that's the case, then they're going to lose what little open space and green area that they did have.
What would you do to attract income? You say Santee has a potential to grow another 18,000 people. What sort of people would you want to attract?
One of the great things about Santee is that steadily our median house prices have been increasing. Our median income for a resident in Santee is going up. So that's a very good thing, especially in this economy and especially in the last decade. Moving forward, when you see a lot of the new housing developments coming, new apartments, new developments, they are state of the art. They can compete with any other first class residential area in any other part of the county, any upscale part of the county. And I think that's a great thing for Santee because we stand alone compared to any other place in East County where we have really first class, first rate housing potential. One of the a potential downside to that is that with increased housing or increased purchase prices or rents for condos and apartments is a lot of people will become commuter people if they settle in Santee. The high paying jobs are few and far between in Santee. So anyone coming into the Santee and is going to pay, you know, say $1,700 for a one bedroom apartment probably won't find a job to support that in the city of Santee or maybe not even in East County by and large.
Right.
So anyone we bring in or any new development and housing development we bring in, by and large, they will be commuters. They will be leaving Santee to work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll shop and eat out there and then come back home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of it will be shopping, eating, playing inside the city of Santee recreationally for them.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the solutions I think that most people are generally are positive for is kind of creating more business and commercial districts in the city of Santee. So mm-hmm. when we talk about development, instead of focusing it solely on residential or solely on parks
retail.
And open space or retail, let's try to make it business parks or tech parks or R&D parks. I think one of the great things is the Prospect Corridor plan where, you know, they're cleaning up the whole Prospect from Magnolia to Cuyamaca. And that is going to be a great boon for the city. The potential there for businesses to come or business parks to be built or commercial development there will be really big. What do we fill them with, I think, is a big issue. And I think the best benefit would be high-tech, high-paying jobs, future economy jobs. Largely used to be manufacturing in that area.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing. We can look for as many businesses that want to come.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the benefits you get with the futures economy is you get a little more peace of mind for a longer term of the industry staying around for a lot longer, right? It'll be around a lot longer than any other industry. So, and I think when you bring in people who want to pay $2,000 for an apartment, then you need to find jobs that they would, work for. And I think R&D, tech, futures economy would be a great
asset.
A lot
of biotech in La Jolla, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing that's
they built
really
a niche. Niche around that, and that's a good thing. And now they're known about that. So I don't know why, you know, there's no reason East County can't be a hub, a tech hub, a life sciences hub, an R&D hub. We already have Scantabodies Laboratory.
Right,
places like that exist. We have a new college, four-year degree accredited college. They're going to be giving advanced degrees in a lot of fields. Wouldn't it be great if those kids could have internships and volunteerships and in companies and jobs in the area where they're
exactly.
working, right? I mean, one of the benefits of UCSD was that Sorrento Valley was right there and we could find a lot of internships that would just lead to full-time jobs. And a lot of the employers were used to be ex-UCSD faculty or the ex-UCSD alumni and now they're moving in. So I think the college being where it is a good thing. Education is definitely a focal point in Santee. Santee School District is actually one of the higher rated school districts in the county.
Uh-huh.
Our test scores can compete with some of the best in the county. We rank almost at the top of a lot of matrices.
Uh-huh.
So I think secondary education is going to be vital. College being there is a definite asset because instead of finishing at high school, now we got a two-year college in Gros Juan, and now we got a four-year college in Santee, and I think that's great. So I think moving forward, we need to create an infrastructure and create companies and an economy that would we have a farm system with these college kids, right? So let's feed them into Santee jobs instead of jobs outside the community. The college uniquely is
Which college is that you're talking about?
It's called the San Diego Christian College. And they actually have majors dedicated to aeronautics.
Oh, okay.
And because it's proximity to Gillespie Field.
I see.
And so it only makes logical sense.
I know the cath lab, Grossman Hospital, they have a unique $6 million cath lab. If you, outside the cath lab, it's a bank of computers. The only place in California you can get training for that in Southern California?
Right, exactly. Right next door.
So there's a perfect example of training for jobs within...
Exactly. In walking distance, in your community, yeah.
Exactly. Is there anything that you'd like to say that we haven't covered?
Yeah, I'd like to say that moving forward, you know, with the patch being gone and the Herald being gone, that people need to be as aware and attentive to what's going on in your own community as possible. We have a lot of great community organizations, albeit Rotary, Kiwanis, Collaborative, the Santee Solutions, Santee Santas, the Ministerial Council, the Food Bank. I mean, there's the list goes on with nonprofits and community groups that are doing things actively with Santee on a day-to-day basis. I think it's our jobs as residents and citizens to be about Santee. My slogan's always that I'm from Santee and I am for Santee. There are many Santee residents that are just like that and they need to be like that. There are things that are going on in our backyard, like, for example, the Carlton Oaks Country Club, I think is an escrow to be sold to a developer. It's already an escrow, right? I think we need to be aware of the situation, be as informed as possible. East County Magazine, East County Californian, all of these resources are available. City Council is always open. There are many commissions regarding the situation, Mission Trails, Task Force. There are a great many things from a great many individuals trying to make it a better place. Whatever the development is, Fernita Ranch or Carlton Oaks Country Club or some of these converted open green space to residential space, like whatever they do, if they're going to have to do it, and if it has to be done, let's just do it smart. Let's try to minimize the amount of the residential footprint. Let's try to keep it as open and as green as possible to kind of blend in with the community that is right now. Santee isn't like downtown where it's just, you know, Santee is very open. It's very natural. It's very trail chaparral oriented. And, you know, we should try to retain that because that is the reason why families settled here long ago and families are staying here generationally and new families are coming here. Be informed, be engaged, be active. Again, my name is Keshav Damore. I was born and raised in Santee. I'm from Santee and I'm for Santee. And I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Miriam Raftery with a warning from Sheriff Bill Gore for parents to check their children's trick-or-treat bags and watch out for chocolate bars, cookies, brownies, and gummy bears or jelly candies that could be infused with marijuana. These items are sold at medical marijuana dispensaries locally, but THC, the active ingredient in pot, can make a child sick, and the concentration of THC in candies is very potent. The suggested serving size for a marijuana cookie or gummy bear is just a small bite. But a child would want to eat the entire cookie or gummy bear not knowing it's laced with marijuana. In California, it is against the law to give a child a controlled substance such as marijuana. Doing so could result in felony child endangerment charges, the sheriff says. If your child starts to feel or act strangely after eating the candy, take them to the doctor or call Poison Control at 800-222-1222. In an emergency, always call 911. And if any form of marijuana candy ends up in your child's Halloween bag, please report it to the Sheriff's Department at area code 858-565-5200.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
This is Leon Thompson on East County Magazine. And today I have with us the Vice Mayor of Santee and candidate for the City Council, Rob McNellis. Welcome.
Thank you very much for letting me be here today.
I appreciate it. And tell us a little bit about your background.
Oh, I've got a long background. I've originally from Los Angeles County, lived all over L.A., raised by a single mom, so we moved quite often, and found myself getting a job down here in San Diego, moved down here with my wife, didn't know a single person when I was 20 years old. And
what year was that?
1992. Moved down here in 92 and kind of lived in La Mesa, then El Cajon, and found my way to this little city called Santee in 1994. And I told my wife that this is it. This is where we're going to live the rest of our lives, and this is where we're going to raise kids.
And what did you like about Santee so much?
You know what? I think it was because I moved around so much as a kid myself. Mm-hmm. Literally every 18 to 24 months of my entire life growing up until I got to high school, I was moving to another city. So I didn't finish a school or anything at the same place ever until high school. Mm-hmm. And high school, I was fortunate enough to move into a city called Diamond Bar. And that was the first place I lived for 4 years in a row. I went to one school. And I think there was something about Santee that reminded me of Diamond Bar, which was the only place I knew of as home, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
And so it just felt very, very comfortable to me. It felt right. And that's a lot of how I live my life. If it feels right, I do it.
Well, whatever possessed you to run for city council in the first place?
One of the things that I was always told from a very young age is you can't complain about anything unless you get involved in it. So unless you have a solution for it, don't complain about it. And unless you're ready to put yourself up there in front of everybody else for ridicule and debate, you really need to keep your mouth shut. So there were a few things that I saw that in my experience in the city that I didn't feel were quite right, and I wanted to see that changed. So I threw my name in the hat. But before I did that, I mean, you want to be educated. And so for mm-hmm. 6 years before I ran, mm-hmm. I actually attended damn near every single city council meeting that there was, every single time, because I wanted to make sure I was not just seeing something from the outside and then casting stones because of my impression of it without mm-hmm. knowing the facts. So yeah, I did.
Did you serve on any committees during that time?
The only committee I served on for the city, the city government was the COMPOC committee, the community oversight policing committee, and. But I was in the Chamber of Commerce. I was president of the Chamber of Commerce. I've sat on the board of directors for the Boys and Girls Club of East County. I was on the School Board Foundation. All sorts of stuff within the community. That was my drive.
And you were elected to the City Council in 2010.
Correct.
What are some of your accomplishments that you're most proud of?
Some of my accomplishments that I'm most proud of, actually one of the very first things I was able to do right out the gate was a neat thing, and that was I'm a dog lover, so putting in some permanent dog parks was really kind of a neat thing for us. We'd over years had just done during this time to this time, you can bring your dog under these right. circumstances and so on, and they have to stay on a leash and all that, and that wasn't quite working, and so we put in our first parks, but there was a dual purpose for it. Uh-huh. We were actually having some kids and homeless people doing some bad things within our parks and towards the backs of our parks.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, you know what? If we make these the backs of our parks dog parks, uh-huh. they'll be more frequented by citizens that aren't doing bad things, uh-huh. And the people that want to do bad things are not going to do it in front of other people. So
right.
it actually worked out quite well for us.
A dog?
I have two dogs. Yeah, I've always had at least two dogs, okay. and so I have two big labs. Yes.
Okay. What else? Other accomplishments that you
balancing the budget properly, starting to re-implement a capital improvement fund for future undergrounding of water drain systems and things of that nature that were starting to fail. You know what? One of the things about the city of Santee is that it's a young city.
Right.
It was a relatively young city, incorporated in 1980. A lot of the development that's gone on around town has been after 1980. And so all the infrastructure stuff that we would think about in a normal city was relatively new. These things are designed to last 30, 40 years. Well, guess what? Right. We're now at 30, 40 years, and these things are starting to fail. And right. because the city didn't have to deal with that, you know, with brand new items ever before, right. capital improvement fund was always one of those things that kind of was put to the side and put to the side. Uh-huh. And then, you know, the recession hits and it's really put to the side because we're digging into reserves to make sure we stay solvent. Uh-huh. And now we're starting to come out of that. And I want to make sure that has been one of the things that we start to refund again, because we are going to need it. It's not the pretty stuff. It's not the stuff that we can all – the sizzle. Mm-hmm. But it's the stuff that needs to be done within a city. Otherwise, it will fall apart, literally fall apart.
So what has resulted from the capital campaign? Have you invested that money in Santee and stuff?
Yeah, what we've actually done was we scoped out every single pipe that we have in the city of Santee for mm-hmm. for water drainage. Uh-huh. And just rated them on a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. what needs to be done yesterday, right. and what we have a year, 2 years, 10 years, whatever, you know, we need to get done in order to put that into the system. Right. And then we started putting together the ways to fund these projects and how to marry some together, right. Just what's the best overall use of our money, right. and how do we get more for our money at the time.
Right. So you're concerned with infrastructure because
oh, yeah.
Santee can still grow some, right?
Santee, yes, it absolutely can. So I always say it's the last urban city with developable land in San Diego County, which is why it's all eyes on Santee right now.
Exactly. And then we have, for instance, Finita Ranch, the extension of Mass Boulevard, and even now Carlton Oaks are some projects, just mention a few, mm-hmm. that are that will be on your plate.
Absolutely.
Eventually. And so two Santee, of the three. A lot of it is about development. So talk a little bit about development in Santee.
Two of the three have kind of always been on the plate. Mm-hmm. We'll start with Mass Boulevard going through. Mm-hmm. Way before my time of ever being there, there was a statement made by one of the council members that as soon as the 52 connects to the 67, you know, I'll be the first one out there with a shovel and open it up. Uh-huh. And I was a big proponent of that when I actually ran for office, is opening up Mass Boulevard, and the thing that stopped me, stopped me dead in my tracks, was there's a development on the other side that wants to increase the industrial park over there. Oh. And the traffic impact study that came out of that was showing that we're gonna have 700 new commercial vehicles on Mass Boulevard and Magnolia every single day.
Oh my!
And that is not something I believe belongs on our residential streets. So that was one reason that that really put the halt on it for me personally. Mm-hmm. And then number two, also doing studies. You know, the other thing is being a past president of the Chamber of Commerce. I want more commerce in our town. We want to help our local businesses thrive. And so I thought, you know, opening up Mass Boulevard will help Lakeside citizens do their shopping in Santee, which mm-hmm. I thought would be wonderful. And then we started doing the research and realizing they're already shopping in Santee.
Ah.
Whether we open it or not, they're already doing it.
Right. Can they're they just get, a different exit.
Can they, exactly. Can they get there literally 2 minutes faster if we open that up? Yeah, right. They can. But if we don't, are they still going to come? More than likely they are. And then the third part is it's the price tag for the city of Santee is $5.7 million. We don't have redevelopment funding anymore. Our governor, Jerry Brown, took that all away from us. So mm-hmm. so there, we no longer can fund that type of stuff with redevelopment funds. Mm-hmm. We have to take that literally right out of our general fund. And that right there, that one project, would wipe out almost entirely our reserve account completely out of our general fund.
And what about Finita Ranch?
Finita Ranch. Finita Ranch has been on the books since before Santee was even an incorporated city. I've heard from some people at one point it was going to be 20,000 homes
right.
up there because the
I
land
– 11,000.
Yeah, yeah, and they were all going to be 1,000-square-foot,
right.
6,000-square-foot lots, the cookie-cutter houses that a lot of Santee is currently made up of.
Mm-hmm.
The land actually represents 25% of the city's land mass, to put it into perspective for you. It's a very large piece of land. It goes all the way back to Poway, from the edge of Santee all the way to Poway, and currently is dead space to us. You know, I hear citizens talk about, oh, I love to hike up through there and all that, and I'm like, you're trespassing. That's kind of illegal. That is not our land or your land to do that with.
Mm-hmm.
That is someone's private property, and they have the right to develop it. It's been on the books forever. Now, you know, the other side of that is the traffic impact that that's going to cause. And that's the reason that there's already things on the books of, you know, the widening of Mast Boulevard, the widening of the on-ramp onto the 52. We just agreed to fund a study to restripe Highway 52 or State Route 52 so that we can get another lane on there as well to widen that and relieve some of that bottlenecking that goes on. These are all things that would have to be done before a project was ever completed, or not even completed, in fact, initiated, because we make every developer do the infrastructure stuff first before they can build their first house. Otherwise, it never gets done.
Right. Each and every project sounds like it. Each has their pros and cons.
Oh, without a doubt. And it depends on what side of the coin you're on. If you're one of the citizens that says, I'm done, I want no more growth in Santee, then you absolutely don't want that project. If you're one that says, hey, I love Santee, but I want some move-up housing, then you do want a project like that. Or you're somebody on the outside of Santee that wants to come in, but there is no housing.
Right.
You want these projects.
What's the solution to the transient problem in Santee?
I don't know that there is one solution, Leon. I really don't. It's one of those things that kind of takes a village. I tell you what we do have. We do have processes in place for those that actually want to get help. Every law enforcement officer that we have, every sheriff, when they approach a transient that's doing wrong, whatever that may be, the first thing that they ask them is, do you want and do you need help? Uh-huh. And 9 out of 10 times, it's nope, I'm all good. Because what that requires, and they all understand it, is that they have to get clean and sober. There's no manipulating that at all. If you want to get help, if you want to come out of the system that you're in and into a newer system, you can no longer do drugs and you cannot be drinking alcohol. You got to get clean and sober. Right. And as soon as we get that part out, they're nope, I'm fine. I'm doing good. I'll move along. I'll do whatever. The problem is, though, that these are a number of the people that, yeah, they do cause a lot of harm in our city. They actually cost us a great deal of money, because when they get in trouble and the sheriff does come and they have to try and arrest them, the new trick is that they all of a sudden have chest pains immediately. Every single time. They were fine up until then, but all of a sudden now they have chest pains. Well, that requires that we call EMTs. They got to come out. They've got to hook them all up. And I'm hearing from the EMTs directly. It's the same people 3-4 times a week.
Right.
It's just the same thing. They get in trouble. They have to transport them to the hospital. Our EMTs have to stay there at the hospital and wait until they're taken over and signed over by the hospital, which can take up to 2 or 3 hours. So our EMTs are off of our roles in Santee, not helping our citizens that may or may not need the help at the time. They're over there waiting for the hospital, who doesn't want to take this person in because they know that they can't pay. And then once they get in there, they get a nice meal, they get to get a nice nap in a clean bed for a while. And by the time that they're discharged, the sheriff's no longer there to arrest them anymore, because the sheriffs can't wait that long.
Right.
So they're back on the street, and within a few hours back in Santee, and the cycle starts all over again.
Doesn't sound like a system that's working very well.
It doesn't. So for those people, we just need to make it as uncomfortable for them as possible. Stop giving them money. Stop giving them food. Just, if you want to do that, and God bless you if you do, there are shelters that would love to take that money. The Santee Food Bank, a number of them in El Cajon, there's such a huge need for it. But that need will be served properly.
Right. Now, one of the questions we've been asking a lot of the candidates that come here to East County Magazine is, what is your definition of leadership?
I've been asked this question before, and my definition of leadership is, I don't know that it's an easy definition. I think leadership is something that comes to you when you're called upon. I've seen kids, and you have too. You remember growing up in elementary school and playing kickball or baseball or whatever the case may be. There was always that one kid that was picked to be the leader of the team, right? Maybe it was because of the best athlete. Maybe because he was the most motivated. Who knows why? But there was always seemed to be that one kid, and that one kid oftentimes went on and was a leader of many, many different things. That was what that person was passionate about. It was the sports, and that's what drove them. But I've also seen people that are timid as a mouse. Uh-huh. And then they find one cause that gets them fired up, and they become the spokesperson for that. They take that on as their personal mantra, and they become a leader for that cause. And it's it's incredible when you find that one thing that drives you. So leadership to me is finding that thing that drives you and makes you want to be a better person and makes the organization, whatever that organization may be, the best it can be, and you go forward with it and you do everything you can to see it thrive and be successful.
For those who are tuning in late, we're talking with the Vice Mayor of Santee, Rob McNellis. Now, Rob, is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
Well, maybe why I'm running. I'm running because I love the city of Santee with a passion. I told you, growing up the way I did, had no real structure, no real anything in life. And truthfully, this city has taken me in. Named me Citizen of the Year in 2007. Just all the wonderful things that have happened to help to support a business for many years. It's an incredible community. They'll give you everything that you want from it with incredible people. And more importantly to me, it was someplace that I can raise my children and have them be proud of where they grew up. Mm-hmm. Not be ashamed to say, you know, when I'm taking my kids back to the places I lived in and going, yeah, this is where Daddy used to hang out. It scares them a little bit, yeah. It frankly scares them. Uh-huh. And, you know, to have a city that they get to live in that has no graffiti. Mm. I mean, that was just a part of my life. I mean, everything had graffiti on it growing up. Right. And for my kids to see it and think that it's a foreign object is wonderful to me. I can't tell you the satisfaction I get out of it. It's the little things like that. It's the little things in our city being clean. It's all that you don't notice. It's just there's something about this city that makes you feel like you're home, but you can't put your finger really on it. It's because it's not one thing. It's a number of little things, and that's what, you know, drives me to make a better city every single day. It's to build a better community for my kids to be proud of and for the rest of the community to be proud of. That's it. I mean, it's just that. I'm just impassioned by the city. I love the city. I want to see it thrive. And yes, this is my idea of what thriving really means. Somebody else may have a different idea, and that is fantastic. I think that as elected officials, we should never, ever, ever dodge the question of how do you feel about this project, that project, this thing or the other thing. You shouldn't have to find out what the other person's opinion is before you answer that. You should be able to give your opinion and be ready to defend your opinion if necessary and explain why you've come to that conclusion. Doesn't mean you're going to win the other person over. It just means at least you have an opinion, you formed an opinion based on your study, your education, and your life experience.
Do you have any real big goals for this next term? Have a particular individual goal?
There's three, and they mostly revolve almost kind of around the entertainment type of world. I see one of the big needs that we have is we need a 4-star hotel. I mean, we really do. We're losing revenue.
Okay.
Sportsplex USA runs 1,000 people through their gate every single day.
Uh-huh.
1,000 people. Last year, they booked 29,000 room stays. Almost none of them were in Santee.
Oh.
These are people that, you know, that are here for a baseball game, a tournament, or whatever the case may be, and then they're gone to Mission Valley and spending all their tax dollars out there and doing all that stuff out there.
Okay.
We have an opportunity there. We have the college in town now, the Christian University that's in town.
Okay.
Students that are living there on campus, mom and dad want to come in. They want to stay close to their child. They've got to go outside the city to stay there, to stay, you know, close to them.
Right.
That's not a good visit.
Right.
We have a need for that. Mm-hmm. We have two high schools in town that have homecoming, prom, all that kind of stuff, and all their events are held outside
in
of town.
Valley, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Or at Barona.
Right.
You know, the city of Santee, we do our annual awards ceremony, and that's held at Barona. Yeah. I mean, we don't have venues to do that.
Right.
I think a hotel with some
banquet
facilities would be wonderful for our community. Secondly, I want to see the entertainment complex come to fruition. That was something
theater, or
it's yeah. I know
multiplex.
Yeah, I know. Councilmember Minto had talked a little bit about that. That was one of the projects, and frankly, I was not in support of in the beginning when it was a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just a movie theater, I'd still not be in support of it today, just because movie theaters are a dying technology. There's a reason that you have to subsidize the land cost, the underground sidewalks, curbs, gutters, and all that stuff. There's a reason for it. They don't make any money.
Mm.
Think about it. Right now in your house, you've probably got at least a 60-inch flat-screen TV, and if you bought it 4 or 5 years ago, it probably cost you a couple thousand dollars. Now you can get a 60-inch flat-screen TV for about $500.
Mm-hmm.
I saw last Super Bowl, I saw an 80-inch for about $1,500. 80-inch. That's huge.
It's a garage door.
It really is. My goodness. Surround systems are becoming just incredible. They're better. It's almost as good as THX you get in the theater. It's all that kind of stuff.
So what is this entertainment center going to be?
The entertainment complex is going to be a 127,000-square-foot facility that will house multiple movie theaters. But it's not, like I said, not just a movie theater for the sake of it. Uh-huh. The new technology is they're multi-purposing these movie theaters for lecture halls for the colleges.
Oh.
So interactive lecture halls.
Oh, I see.
So you could be basically showing a professor giving a speech on the East Coast.
Right.
And the students be in the theater and be able to communicate with that professor.
Right.
Incredible stuff. It's really, really neat. They have one of that's actually going to have a stage for live performance, should it ever want to be rented out for live performance theater.
Right.
Two of them that will have skyboxes that you can rent out for private parties.
Wow.
Yeah, your own skybox for a movie. That's kind of neat stuff.
Yeah. It's no ordinary theater.
No ordinary theater. And then tied to that is also a state-of-the-art bowling alley, kind of like East Lake Tavern, I think is what it's called, or East Lake Lanes or whatever.
Right.
Just state-of-the-art bowling alley, two-story laser tag facility, an arcade, a coffee shop, a family sports restaurant, a adult sports bar.
Is there a location for
ice cream facility?
This, already? Is there a location where you're?
Yeah, it's right next to our trolley square, just to the north. To the northeast of where 24-Hour Fitness is right now.
Okay.
We're very, very close on that. And I remember going to see that thing 2 years ago on my birthday. Uh-huh. Me and the old city manager flew out to Arizona to go check this thing out. We had to fly out at 7 o'clock in the morning, drove 3 hours to get to this place because it's in the middle of nowhere. It's only one facility like it in the country.
Wow.
And when you finally get out past the tumbleweeds and you see this thing, you're going, oh, my goodness, is this like really? It looks like a college. And to think that we're going to have – by the time we got there, it was 11:30 on a Wednesday afternoon, and the place had already had a number of patrons inside of it doing all the different things that it had. The city is Maricopa City. It's 30 minutes of tumbleweeds between Maricopa City and Chandler, Arizona.
Oh.
So there's nothing between Chandler and Maricopa, nothing at all but tumbleweeds. And for 11:30 on a Wednesday to have people already recreating in the facility was encouraging to me, thinking – within Santee, within 20 minutes, we've got 3 million people in every direction. You know what I mean? It's a great concept that I think is going to be very successful.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you, Rob. And
thank you.
Sharing your vision with us. And we thank you very much for coming to our East County Magazine studios.
Thank you for letting me be here. I really appreciate it, Leon.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County includes a lot of fun, festive activities, including an ice skating Halloween costume party in Alpine, an art and wine festival at a Ramona Castle, and trout fishing season opener at Santee Lakes.
Plus, we'll have previews of coming attractions, including an acorn festival and a hike by the light of the moon in our mountain regions.
So stay tuned for all of these events and much, much more from East County Magazine. Viejas Outlet Center in Alpine kicks off the holiday season on October 31st with the opening of the popular Viejas Ice Rink, the largest outdoor ice rink in Southern California. This Halloween night, you can skate in costume from 5 to 10 p.m. and trick-or-treat at Viejas Outlet stores from 6 to 9 p.m. If you bring a new unwrapped toy for the Viejas Holiday Toy Drive, you can also get reduced pricing at the ice rink. For more information, visit viejas.com/ice-rink.
The second annual Ramona Art and Wine Festival will be held at the historic Amy Strong Castle at Mount Woodson in Ramona on November 1st from noon to 5 p.m. Guests will enjoy tasting handcrafted wine from area wineries and food prepared by area chefs. Artists will display and sell their work. Highlighting the event is a live auction of wine barrels painted by local artists. The proceeds from the festival will be used to benefit the Ramona Heart Mural Project, Inc. While tasting wine and checking out the art, guests can explore this 27-room, 12,000-square-foot castle completed in 1921 as the dream home for the dress designer Amy Strong. For ticket information and reservations, visit RamonaArtAndWineFest.net.
Five historic homes will be featured on the La Mesa Historic Home Tour on Saturday, November 1st. The La Mesa Historical Society's tour features residences from the 1920s to mid-century. For information and tickets, visit lamesahistory.com.
If you're looking for a hot time, you can head out to Lemon Grove for 10th Annual Western Roundup and Chili Cook-Off on Saturday, November 1st from 6 until 9 p.m. The event organized by the Soar Optimist International of Lemon Grove will benefit holiday giving via the Lemon Grove Food Bank to help needy families. Celebrity chefs will compete for the coveted Chili Champ Trophy, judged by diners and courageous celebrity judges. The organizers promise good grub, boot stomping, live music and dancing, along with a raffle and silent auction. Western attire is encouraged. The event will be held at St. John of the Cross Social Hall at 8086 Broadway in Lemon Grove.
On November 2nd, acclaimed jazz guitarist and composer Peter Sprague will perform a free concert at Mission Trails Regional Parks Theater in the Visitor Center at 3 p.m. Sprague has performed at many international venues.
San Diego State University's Experimental Theater will present the Pulitzer Prize-winning drama Water by the Spoonful from October 31st through November 9th. The play recounts a young Iraqi war veteran's struggle to readjust in civilian life.
There are 2,000 pounds of rainbow trout, including fish weighing in at up to 12 pounds at Santee Lakes, where the trout season opener takes place Saturday and Sunday, November 1st and 2nd. Prizes will be awarded for the five largest fish caught. There will also be a breakfast sponsored by the local Lions Club, and prizes include fishing poles, tackle boxes, bicycles, camping gear, and free fishing passes to Santee Lakes. So if you catch a trout 5 pounds or larger, you will be entered in the grand prize drawing for a flat screen TV. For more information, visit SanteeLakes.com. Now, for a preview of coming attractions.
You're invited to hike by the light of the moon on Friday, November 7th at 6 p.m. at the Santa Isabel Preserve. Meet at 600 Farmer Road in Julian and bring a flashlight along with warm clothes, water, and sturdy hiking shoes. Dogs on a leash are welcome.
Hauka, in celebration of the acorn harvest once held by the local Native Americans in these foothills, the Lewis A. Stelzer County Park in Lakeside will hold an acorn harvest festival on Sunday, November 8th from 1 to 4 p.m. Guests will learn the Kumeyaay traditions as the park comes alive with interactive displays, crafts, storytelling, and acorn grinding.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Giovanni Galicia, and the Smashing Beats. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.